Hey guys!
Hi!
It's us and we're back!
Yes, we're back. This is episode 60 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Wow.
I'm your co-host, Ariel. And who are you?
I'm Dee Dee, and if you guys can hear it, I'm battling some laryngitis right now. So, yeah, that's why I sound the way that I do. Sorry, guys.
I mean, some people think that that's sexy, and I'm sure there's going to be someone out there who does.
Yeah, they call it texture. That's what they call
really?
It. Yeah, they call these guys. They have, like, women who have, like, hoarse voices. It's called a textured voice. I learned that in my voiceover class.
Ah.
Yes. So, like, women who have voices like Cree Summers, that's a textured voice.
So, what do you call, I guess, a non-textured voice?
Just regular voice, I guess. I don't know.
Aw, shucks.
Yeah, they didn't give you anything regular. I mean, they have, like, cartoony. They have the sister slash loving family member. And then they also...
I don't want to be her.
Yeah, and then they have textured voices. Well, you can have the loving family member if you're going to be selling, like, products like baked goods or things like that for voiceovers for commercials. Yeah, definitely they want that kind of voice. And then, of course, they want the cartoony voices. And then they want the textured voices for, like... You know, I don't know, commercials about Frisbees. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't laugh because I'm still battling a cold. So, like, when I laugh hard, I, like, start to cough. And that's not sexy.
No, it is not.
It's not sexy. Not at all. Anywho, this is episode 60 of Catnaps and Cognac. See how good that sounds with my textured voice?
Wow.
Yeah. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back. And if you're a new listener, please go back and check out the other 59 episodes. So you have a lot of catching up to do. Loads of catching up. Yes, definitely. So anywho, how are you, Ari?
Better than you in your, in your, sickness.
Yeah, my laryngitis. Right. Yeah.
I'm cool.
Awesome.
No complaints. Other than that, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing well. I don't know if you guys have went and cut your hair by the time you're listening to this. Wednesday and Thursday were the days to cut your hair. I got my hair cut on Wednesday. And it looks really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really proud of my hair. So, yeah. If you guys didn't go do it, don't say we didn't warn you. But there's plenty of other chances for you to cut your hair. To lengthen it. However, this, the 19th and the 20th of March were the best days for lengthening. Did you cut your hair, Ari?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. But I'm sure by the time this episode airs, she will have had cut her hair.
Oh, bet your bottom dollar.
Bet your bottom dollar. I don't even know what that means.
Nope.
But one day I'm going to look up. Oh, last as in bottom. Okay, that makes sense. That makes lots of sense. Anywho.
I'm going to Google it, though.
Yeah, we should. We should talk about it. It's an idiom. We need to find out what that means.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah.
Yes, moving on. What are we moving on to?
Well, it's Women's History Month.
Yes.
And something in Women's History, something kind of crazy that people might not believe, but... According to Business Insider, a 35-year-old former food waitress is now running a $1 billion company.
Whoa!
You believe that?
I don't believe it.
Cat Cole, I mean, that sounds like a...
sounds like a Hooters.
A plumbing name,
yeah,
or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sounds like a Hooters name for sure.
She is now president, or as of 2013, she became president of Cinnabon by the age of 35.
Check her out.
She worked at Hooters for 15 years. She started from the bottom as a waitress, and she eventually got promoted to vice president. And now she works for Cinnabon, and it said that she's credited with taking Cinnabon's indulgent creations to grocery shelves and fast food chains like Taco Bell. Can I tell you that I have Cinnabon delights again today?
Oh my gosh.
I love them so much. So thanks, Cat Cole. You're expanding my waistline, but I don't mind.
but whatever. They're those freaking Cinnabon Delights are friggin' delicious.
They're so good.
Global
sales of the company reached $1 billion last year.
Wow. Well, thank you, Kat Cole. But don't, like, let's not, you know, because the thing is, what I didn't like about this article is that they were just like, well, you know, later, eventually, she got her degree in engineering. No, while she was working at Hooters, she got a degree in engineering, an engineering degree, and then she became an executive training employees at Hooters. And the reason why she started working at Hooters, she started there at 16, and it was to help her divorced mother with the bills. So then after she got her degree, she became an executive, was training training employees at Hooters. Then she moved on to being the president of Cinnabon, which is basically a first of all, let's talk about that. $1 billion company.
$1 billion.
That's a lot of money. Like, Cinnabon is everywhere. I know at almost every rest stop, you know, you go to, especially like when you're going to Disney World, Cinnabon is always there. That's like the staple store that's always there. Like, you'll go to different rest stops and they'll have like Pizza Hut, or they'll have Cazoli's, or they'll have Burger King, Starbucks maybe. Like, it always changes. But the one staple that you'll always find is Cinnabon.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is the reason why they're a billion-dollar company, because they know where to be. Like, when they brought those Cinnabon Delights to Taco Bell, what? Oh, my God. They're so good.
It was definitely a party.
Yes, it was a party.
In your mouth. that's what you saw.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. You nasty. By executive standards, she and her longtime boyfriend live in a modest 3,000 square foot home that was built in 1968 in Atlanta, which she gutted and filled with her own paintings. Wow. One room holds her boyfriend's hunting bows and rifles. Cole drives a 9-year-old Mercedes. Her iPhone screen is cracked. Look at that. She's not trying to keep up with the Joneses. She's not in the new. Okay, she don't even have the new phone.
Nope.
Her phone is cracked. And she was actually on Undercover Boss last year. Which is a pretty cool show. And at 34, she was the youngest executive ever featured on the show.
Check her out.
So what are sisters doing, Ari?
Ah, they're doing it for themselves. Can you hear me doing my little shake?
Yes, honey. Yes. I am here for it. Sisters are doing it for themselves.
I can't see.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. So, shout out to Kat Cole. And this is something that's awesome for Women's History Month. We are making history. Yes. She was the youngest executive. I'm like, this is great. This is really awesome. And she really did start from the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, don't always look at your Hooters waitress, you know, for just her body. She may have a very active and well-working mind as well.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot do.
Yes, definitely. All right, well, good for you, Kat Cole. Yes, we must give a hand clap to Miss Ma'am. Anywho, so, you know what, last week on last episode, we forgot to tell you guys about a really fun day that we had.
Yes.
It was so great. It was Bring Your Own Friend Day at IKEA. And I really don't understand what that means. I think they just made up something. But it was a lot of fun, I'll say that. We had such a great day that day.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was one of the best Saturdays I've had in a while.
Yeah, me too. Because it was, like, nice. The weather was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It just went really well. So, basically, at Bring Your Own Friend Day, like, they had, like, all these things that you could do. You know, there were different activities. We just walked around IKEA because it's fun. And we pretended to live in some of the places.
Yeah, I took a shower.
Yeah, she took a shower. I went to sleep on one of the beds. I was working at my home office.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, we went there for the food.
We had breakfast.
Yes, we had breakfast. That was the first thing there. And, like, it was so... First of all, how did that line get so... We were the first, like, 15 people there. When we got inside, there were at least 50 people at the cash register for breakfast.
Yeah, there was a lot of people.
Was there another, I'm confused. There must be another entrance because Ari and I, like there were 10 people outside, honestly. We were at the door when they opened it. But when we got upstairs and it was like a one straight stop, straight shot right to the cashier or, you know, to go get breakfast. And there were already 50 people in line. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they definitely had two entrances.
Okay, that's
what it was. I saw one when we passed it.
Okay.
Facing the street.
Got it. Okay, so that's what it was. Because I was totally befuddled. I didn't get it. Like, what was the big idea? Anywho, so we had a great breakfast, had a great chat, and there were birds flying around inside.
Like real birds.
Yeah, real birds. Real birds. They were super cute birds, but they were real birds. And the breakfast was like 99 cents. And you get so... We tried the Swedish pancakes.
Yo. Excuse me. They were amazing.
Amazing. Totally amazing. And they came with this boysenberry, dingleberry, lingonberry, whatever the fuck they call it, sauce. I tried it on the Swedish pancakes and it was actually really good. But they were so stingy with the Swedish pancakes, weren't they?
Yeah, they could have definitely given like three.
Yeah.
First of all, they were very thin.
Yes.
They were like, it was more like crepe.
Right.
But it was like one big, I felt like it was one giant one, and they just fold it like into quarters.
Yeah. I wasn't impressed with that. They could have gave us more.
Yeah.
However, the breakfast was amazing. Coffee was good. You know, it was a lot of fun just sitting there, and then we got up and walked around, and then they gave out coupons, and they gave you a free IKEA bag if... Once you RSVP'd for Bring Your Own Friend Day, they sent you an email with how to get a free IKEA bag. The breakfast was only going to be 99 cents. Also, buy one, get one free dessert. So after we were all tuckered out from walking around the store, we went back up for dessert. And funny enough, like where we were standing, you could see the Statue of Liberty from where we were.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my first time ever seeing the Statue of Liberty being in New York. I've been here for 2 years and I've never seen it. So it was pretty cool for me. I was super excited, actually. I got really excited.
Very excited.
Yeah.
And you also looked out because you got the last of one of their desserts.
Oh, yes. The chocolate crunch, whatever cake. It was so funny. This probably was like one of the best parts of the day that I was able to get that cake. There was only one left. And we were really nervous because there were two people, there was an older couple in front of us. And they had that one cake left, and then they had loads of tiramisu. I did not want tiramisu, I wanted that cake. So the guy like reaches in, and I'm thinking he's going to take both. And thank God he didn't. But luckily, Ari was like, girl, you better get that cake. Because the lady behind Ari, if Ari didn't get that cake for me, she would have gotten it. And because the lady didn't get the cake, she went ballistic.
Like, she
went completely nuts. She was like, what kind of cake is that? Have you ever had, like, lady, we don't fucking know what kind of cake it is. We've never had it before. Like, stop, mind your business. And, like, she told the people behind the counter, like, three times, and she shouted at them at how they didn't have any more of this chocolate cake. But she had already grabbed the tiramisu. And I'm not one to talk. I'm not saying that I'm a skinny mini, but that lady could have stood without having that second piece of cake. She didn't need it. And then after she was so nasty about hollering at the people for her cake, she did get her dinner or her lunch, and it tipped over. Cake, lunch, drink, everything tipped over. It was so funny. It was so funny, and that she deserved it because she was so nasty the way she was with the people about getting more cake. And the guy behind the counter was like, look, I've got hundreds of people here. I don't give a kick about you and this cake. No one cares.
There were so many people. Like, we waited. How long did you wait?
We were in that line for at least 35, 40 minutes.
At least.
It was so long we were in that line. Anywho, so Being Your Own Friend Day was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was loads of fun. I don't know if anybody else, you know, participated in Bring Your Own Friend Day, but we would love to hear about it. If you guys did anything, if you guys bought anything, what'd you guys do? Did you have fun with your friend while you were at Bring Your Own Friend Day? I had a great day. Great. And after Bring Your Own Friend Day, we went drinking. We went day drinking.
Yes. That was fun as well. We had more cider.
Yes.
We had cider mixed with beer or something like that.
Yeah.
That was actually delicious.
Yeah. It was like an orangey beer.
Yeah, it was really good. Mm-hmm. And we had the Fireball whiskey. Not Fireball whiskey. We had I think regular whiskey.
Yeah.
It was a good old-fashioned time.
Yeah, good old-fashioned time, sitting at a bar, just having a grand old time. Anywho, and then, you know what? Ari and I'm going to just say that we're foodies, and we like to go around New York City and have good food. Because then on Pi Day, which was March 14th, if anybody's a math nerd, it was Pi Day. We didn't go on Pi Day. We went the day after, but we had pie. At, what's the name of the place?
420 Blackbirds.
420 Blackbirds. And we had the most amazing pies. They were amazing.
Definitely.
What kind of pie did you have, Ari?
I had a lemon custard pie. I forgot what the exact name of it was. And a sweet potato apple crumble pie. Mm. That one had my heart. Like, it's still in my heart, in like a pocket of savory goodness, and I think about it every day.
Yes. 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 The first pie that I had, I really went there for I forgot the name of the pie now. It doesn't even matter. Who cares?
It was the salted honey.
Oh, the salted honey pie. That's what I went there for. But they didn't have, they ran out. So I got the salted caramel apple, which was delicious. The crust was just so good. Everything was amazing. And then we wanted more pie. So I tried the one that Ari had. And let me tell you something. That is the most delicious pie I've ever had in my life.
Wow, in your life?
In my life. Like, yeah, it's great. The combination together, I would have never thought to put apple crumble and sweet potato together. And it just went together so well, because the sweet potato is very warm. And then the apple crumble gives it, it has a little tartness to it. And then you put the two together, and it's just so, so good. It was so good. And I usually don't like oats when it comes to desserts. But when it comes to, like, crumbles or, like, you know, peach whatever, peach cobbler, things like that, I like, or crisps, peach crisps, excuse me, apple crisp. And that's what it was. It was, like, apple crisp on top of sweet potato pie. It was so good.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. Amazing. And we need to go back, because winter is going to be done. And that's a winter pie.
Tomorrow's spring.
What the hell are we going to do? You think they're going to change up their menu already by the time?
I think so. But I think that they'll probably have something equally great.
True. 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 So we're going to go back. And we're going to go back for spring pies. And we're going to report what we got from the spring pies.
Yeah, what are you guys' favorite pies?
Yeah, what are your favorite pies? You know what? One of my favorite pies is strawberry rhubarb. I love strawberry rhubarb pie.
I never had that pie, and I'm kind of afraid. but I'll try it.
It's really good. Like, rhubarb, it looks like celery, but it's red. But it has, like, this very tart, tart flavor. And so it's used in desserts and jams all the time. So, together with strawberry, and the thing is, they both grow in the summer. So I guess people just used what they had, you know, to make desserts. And they put rhubarb in there. And it's just a perfect combination. Like, that's one of the best marriages in a pie, strawberry rhubarb. And I can't wait for the summer so I can make it, because I love strawberry rhubarb pie. I'm sure I could find rhubarb in the store now, just like I could find strawberries in the store now, but they're not going to be at their best flavor because they're out of season right now.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I'll wait till the summer and they'll be delicious. I love pie.
Yeah, pie's great.
Yes, it is. what do we have next on our agenda?
Well, this pisses me off.
Ooh.
You know we have to have one of these moments every once in a while.
Yes.
Let me tell you why I'm mad. Well, first of all, there's a story out about this mailman in Long Island who decided he just wasn't going to deliver mail anymore to some people. And he was throwing mail in the trash.
What?
Yeah.
That is outrageous.
It's completely outrageous. Like, I don't know why he would do that. Well, apparently he said he just didn't feel like it.
He just didn't feel like it.
He didn't feel like doing his job.
Okay. Okay.
But he threw out more than 1,000 letters and packages into garbage bins along his route because he didn't feel like delivering them.
Wow.
Yeah. They also say that this happened in Seaford and Massapequa, and people started complaining to the post office that they weren't getting their mail, and federal officials began watching the mail carrier on their route.
Wow.
So, according to a federal court complaint, one federal agent saw him throw the mail into the garbage, and then last week, the agents approached him about the missing mail. He confessed to tossing the mail in the trash more than 12 times over the past 1 month.
Well,
like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that? I mean, well, like, I completely don't understand. This is your job. You got hired to do this. You don't feel like it, then you quit your job, okay? Like, what are you doing? And plus, that's a federal offense, you dummy.
Right. They said over 150 of the thousands of pieces of mail were posted to first class.
What?
This is horrendous.
It really is.
What makes me really upset is I've had problems with receiving my mail since moving to Brooklyn. Like, not once, not twice. Like, my mom will send me stuff in the mail, and one time it took a whole year to get Christmas cards.
Oh, my goodness.
A whole year. Like, one day I was like, oh, here's cards for you. And it's like, what? It is like, it's my birthday again. Like, what's going on? Why am I getting these now?
Right.
Like, it's crazy. And it turns out that we're not the only ones that have problems with receiving our mail. Like, it's bad enough that going to the post office, you have to wait in long lines. People be on their break all the time when you go in there. You might be only one teller. Like, there's so many things, like, problems when it comes to the post office. But not receiving mail is like, the worst that it could possibly be.
Right.
Have you had problems with mail since you've lived?
Yeah, there? I hate the mail in New York. It's really crappy. Like, it takes forever to get to you. And then you come and your box is all mashed up, bent up, messed up. Like, what is going on? I really, really don't. You know what? I've just had problems, not even just with, like, USPS. I've had even problems with, like, UPS up here. Just mail carriers and package deliverers up here are horrendous, but especially the USPS, and it's outrageous to me. They keep raising these prices for stamps and how to mail things. However, the service is getting crappier and crappier. It's outrageous.
Bad.
I hate it.
So on Yelp, looking at the reviews for a Clinton Hill post office, and they have a 1.5-star rating out of their 56 reviews.
Dang.
And someone says, as a January, am I the only one who goes days, sometimes weeks without mail? This is truly absurd, especially when I'm expecting important things like, oh, I don't know, paychecks.
Whoa! First of all, why are you still getting paychecks in the mail?
maybe she's freelance.
Oh, okay. Oh, yikes.
You never know.
You right. Dang, Tiffany, my bad.
You never know. And someone else goes, oh, where to begin? Maybe with the 3 weeks worth of mail that just didn't get delivered to my building and was never recovered.
What?
Wow. Or they said that they don't attempt to deliver my packages in line in traffic and don't say they attempted delivery. Would it kill them to leave a pink slip that says come and pick up the office or pick up the package at the post office? If I didn't check my tracking info, I wouldn't have even known that my packages were anywhere near my vicinity.
Wow. You see, this is that BS right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is it that I'm not, like, I don't get my mail? This is your job. This is the one thing that you have to do is to deliver my mail. And you can't do that.
Sort it properly, like, come on. There's some other guy, he goes, I think it's a damn shame to give my mail to other people. My bank statement and even checks are ending up in other people's mailbox. you cannot never reach the postmaster when you need to and the phone stays busy. I see where I would have to organize to get the post office. It's been going on too long.
This is outrageous.
Yeah. I know, just last month, my mom sent me something in the mail first class. I didn't receive it for about 3 weeks. And when I did, my package was open.
What? Okay, she sent it first class. Why did it take 3 weeks? It was coming from Florida. It was not coming from Japan. I don't understand.
I don't know.
This is ridiculous. I hate the mail up here. I really, really do. It's so, so bad.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, when I went to go, like, for Christmas. Or not even, way before Christmas. I sent out packages way before Christmas. However, one of my packages, I sent it on, I think, the 21st. And the person who I sent the package to did not get their package until the 31st. And I sent it flat rate where it's supposed to have been there in 2 days. Mm-hmm. I was tracking it and it was like, it's in Binghamton, New York. Why the hell did it go to Binghamton when it was going south? Like, okay, you know what? Maybe they're like FedEx where everything gets, you know, routed through Memphis. Maybe that's how they do it. But it was stuck in Binghamton for a week and a half. It made absolutely no sense to me. Yeah, it made no sense to me. I could not understand why the person hadn't gotten their package yet. I hate the mail up here. I hate it. I really do. Or if I'm getting something mailed to me, it's nowhere to be found. It's tracking, and it's just, like, the same tracking, like, information for 5 days. My package hasn't moved. Where did it go?
Where did it go?
Where did it go? And you call, and they're like, oh, we're going to call the warehouse. Well, the warehouse doesn't even freaking know where it is because they would have scanned it if they knew where it was. Absolutely ridiculous. My story, the story, the one that I have the worst is really not about the USPS. I still hate the post office up here. But the one that I have, the worst one that I have was with UPS. I ordered a coat off of Amazon and I go to check it. Like, and I, you know, I have Amazon Prime, so it's supposed to be there the next day. And I don't have to pay extra money. Like, I paid $3.99 to get it the next day because it was going to be super cold that weekend. So I order the coat, tracking, and it says, I look at it and the delivery guy says, where it says who signed for it. And it says met customer woman. That's all it said. And it was marked as delivered. So I call UPS. I'm like, I didn't get any package. I don't know what woman he met, but it wasn't me. So I asked my landlord if she got it. She didn't get it. And for 2 weeks, I didn't know where this coat was. And then my landlord, she had like a good relationship with the UPS guy. So she called him and had him quote unquote on the case. And mysteriously, one day I'm about to go downstairs and I see the package she had signed, quote unquote signed for it. And it was at the bottom of my steps, but it was opened and then retaped. I don't know. I don't even know if the coat was in the box. All I did was return it right back to Amazon and ask them to give me my money back.
Wow.
Yeah. So for 2 weeks, like it's just crazy. Get it together, delivery people up here, especially the USPS.
That's like the main thing.
Yes. Like, USPS up here is crappy. Yeah. You do it every day. This is your job. It's what you do. You don't do anything else.
I think you're getting your voice back because you're so mad.
I'm so upset. So upset. I'm so mad. So mad at the USPS. Get it together. Why are you guys raising our rates and then you still have crappy service?
Hello.
What is the big idea? Who is having the laugh over there?
Not me.
Me neither. Shit. All my damn packages and I want them on time. You know.
I don't want it now.
There's this one skit on Crank Anchors, which is one of my favorite ones. And the Crank Anchors number was like one number off from the UPS customer service number. So people would mistakenly call Crank Anchors. Have you ever heard of the show Crank Anchors?
Yeah.
Okay. So they would mistakenly call into Crank Anchors. And, you know, of course, they would press record and go along with it. And there's this one lady who's calling to find out about her package. And she gets so upset. She's like, I just want to know where the hell my goddamn package is. and it cracks me up every time. And I always say that every time I lose my package. I'm always like, I just want to know what the hell my damn package is. That's all I want to know. Shit. Oh, I be trying to track it and I can't find it. Can somebody tell me where it is? Oh, well, we're just going to have to reimburse you. No, I don't want your money. I want my package. That's what I want. Shucks. Anyway. It is stressful. It's so tiring dealing with the mail and the crap up here. I hate it. Ugh. Well, that was our Let Me Tell You While I'm Really Mad segment of Catnaps and Cognac. And if you guys have any grievances and would like to air them out, we would love to have you on the show for our next Let Me Tell You While I'm Really Mad segment. So please tweet us.
We should rename it to, like, I'm pissed the hell off.
Yeah. You know what? We're gonna come up with a proper name for it. And then you guys, whoever has any grievances, you guys want to air it out because it's not good to keep that stuff in and you want to just be cathartic and yell about something, we would love to have you on the show for that segment. So tweet us or email us or Facebook us and we'd love to have you guys on the show. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because that would be a lot of fun. That'd be so much fun to have people on the show fussing.
I think so.
I think so, too. I think it would be great. Anywho, so moving on. It's springtime. Tomorrow is spring, right?
Yeah, Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. So birds are going to be chirping. People are supposed to be falling in love. Flowers are supposed to be blooming. Love is in the air, everywhere around.
Hey.
I don't know if those are the words to the song, but it sounded good at the time. So, you know, dating in the city, you know, there's a lot that goes on or a lot of people talking about dating in the city. However, I feel like the whole talk about relationships is dying down, which is great. However, they're taking a different focus now and they're talking about dating. It's not about being in the relationship anymore. Now it's all about dating and why you're not dating or what you need to be doing to be dating. Don't you feel that way?
I do feel that way.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic now. They definitely turned the tables where now it's not so much about what to do to keep your relationship steamy or happy, blah blah blah. It's about now we're trying to get into them. A lot of people have been turning to online dating.
Yes.
There's like, you can go to How About We? And How About We actually, even though you start online, it's supposed to be offline dating. With How About We, you say, how about we go for a walk in Central Park? And then if someone likes your date idea and they like the way you look, they can say that they're intrigued. And then, you know, maybe you guys can meet up and then actually go on the quote-unquote date that you said that you wanted to do. So that's the gimmick with How About We. And then there's Tinder, which I had all the girls sign up for, and it was so funny. It was for a social experiment. It was not because we were looking for guys on Tinder. But Tinder was a lot of fun. You go on there, and it's really subjective, actually. It's all about, like, looking at people, and if you like them, you click yes. If you don't like the way that they look, you click no. There's not much about their profile. So Tinder can be really subjective, and you look at pictures of people, basically. They just send you a bunch of pictures of people around your area who have also signed up for Tinder. And you say yes if you like them, and then no if you don't like them. And then if the person likes your picture and you like them, it says match. And then you can either send the person a message or maybe wait for them to send you a message because they also get notified as well. And in our social experiment, one of the girls actually, a picture of one of the guys was like a lemur or something. It was really funny.
I admit it, that was me. That was me.
I didn't want to say.
After that, I deleted the app.
Yeah.
I was over it.
It was so funny.
I was like, look at this shit. Look at this shit.
Oh my God. I was so weak when when she sent that picture to the group, I was weak. Like, I literally hollered when I saw that picture. She was like, look at what they sent me.
Oh, my God.
I have to find that picture because that was so funny that he put that up. And she was like, look at what they sent me. Look at, I'm deleting this app. Oh my God. It was one of the funniest times. You're very welcome. But it was fun. It was fun for the 10 minutes and we were all doing it together. It was really fun. It was fun. What else? There's eHarmony, of course, and there's Match.com. There's Black People Meet. Yeah, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid. However, I've heard that OkCupid is really... Chicken. What? Clucking Chicken?
Chicken.
That's a real one?
No.
Oh, girl, I'm like, what?
Like Plenty of Fish, Buckered Chicken.
What? Oh, my God, that's so funny. I was gonna say, you know what? I'm tired of all these stupid names for these things. OkCupid, Plenty of Fish. What?
Yeah, I feel like if you were like a vampire, like into that kind of stuff, if you're into pets,
if you're a pet lover,
like, oh yeah, there's tons.
I know that they have like J-Date, which is for Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Christian Mingle, that's another one. However, I would never go into Christian Mingle, mainly because I think that there's probably just gonna be a lot of nasty people on there that are not really Christian. Just a bunch of nasty people. I just feel that way. But, you know, we found something about the psychology of online dating. In 2013, a study was done, and it's funny. Let's do this. How long do you think that you should be in a relationship? Or, you know what, how long do you think people think? Not necessarily you, but do people usually wait before they get married in a conventional relationship?
I get at least 2 years.
2 years. So that's 24 months. As far as online dating, those people, they usually date for only 18.5 months and then they get married, as opposed to people who met conventionally, you know, offline, or, you know, traditionally offline, and they court for about 42 months before marriage. And it's attributed to when people go online to date, they know what they want. It's sad to say this, but it's quote unquote a last resort. And so these people are, you know, they're tired of like, you know, dilly dallying with all these people. Like, they're looking for something serious. And so the other person is looking for something serious as well. So at that point, they don't need to wait as long to know that they're looking for something serious. And unless you're maybe on OkCupid, then you might not be marrying the person that you meet on there.
Or Tinder. You might be marrying a cartoon.
Or a lemur.
Right.
Oh my God. I can't get over it. That's going to be funny till the day I die. Like, that was so, so funny. Oh my God. And I'm going to remember it till I'm going to be telling my grandbabies, child, they had this thing. It was an app. And my friend Ari, she been looking on it, and they sent a monkey. You're not laughing.
No, I'm not.
So, you know, how much do you think it costs to go on a date? Do you think dates are expensive? Like, dating is expensive?
I'm not really sure how much.
Well, according to Black Twitter, we're going on $200 dates all the damn time, so I think it is expensive.
Go away. Please.
Well, that's what Black Twitter said. Black Twitter said you got to spend
$200. Black Twitter could go to hell.
Oh, wow. Go to hell, Black Twitter. You know what? You're right. And it's been so great these past 2 weeks without having to see any of that foolishness on Black Twitter. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's been great. It's so liberating. It really is. Because even though, we're going to get back to something, but even though, like, I don't really follow Black Twitter, a lot of my followers do, and they'll retweet that shit onto my timeline. It's like, oh, go away. Like, I don't want to see this crap. Anywho, so there is a podcast that both Aria and I really love, and it's Freakonomics. And I wish you guys would stop making me tell you to go listen to NPR so that we could talk about other things than $200 dates. Even though right now we're kind of going to be talking about $200 dates. Well, not really $200 dates, but expensive dates. So they pose a question on Freakonomics: does online dating save you money? And they read a report by Convergex, which is a group that estimates, you know, they do numbers. And the folks at Convergex, they use data from Statistic Brain. And remember, we said that the average courtship time for people who met traditionally is 42 months. And for people who met online is usually 18.5 months. And they used that data to come up with a formula. At a conservative estimate of one date per week and at a cost of $130 per date, $100 for the meal and drinks at a nice restaurant, and then $30 for two movie tickets and popcorn, the dating phase prior to an offline marriage runs up about a tab of $23,660. That's a lot of monies.
That is a lot of money, and I don't think you're accounting for the fact that you're not doing this every single week. Like, you're not going to be going out to movies. Like, sometimes y'all really going to be in the house, like,
right,
dinner, or I don't know. Like,
right.
Doing something else.
But they said that, and that was a very conservative estimate, though. They said that one date a week. I mean, you know what? I haven't really dated the way that they do on TV, or the way, I don't want to say it like this, but the way that white people date, where I haven't. Like, I usually, you like a guy, y'all hang out a couple of times, and then boom, you boot up. That's your boyfriend, you have a girlfriend. Like, I don't really like go out on dates like that. And then after a while, it's like, all right, you finna come over, finna watch some Netflix, I'm finna cook, and then vice versa. So it's not, I don't often go on $130 dates. That's very rare for me because I'm not that, you know, I can go to Fridays and be happy. I don't need to go to Ruth Chris like, you know, Black Twitter does. That's the problem. Anywho,
that's the problem.
Yeah, that's why they broke now. You spent $23,000 on dating and that's going on one date a week? That's outrageous. My goodness. Anywho, but they said the average dating site customer spends just $239 a year for online memberships, which more than pays for itself to the tune of $12,803 in cost savings from fewer dates. So people who, you know, online date, they don't go out as much, and so they save about $12,803. And then they say, assuming you go Dutch, each party saves a touch over $6,400. I'm probably going to say that I save more than that because I don't often pay for my dates.
Right.
So, I would save a lot more. I would save maybe a lot of money because I don't pay for dates.
Maybe a lot of money.
Yeah, I would save maybe a lot of money, a lot more than $6,400 because I ain't going Dutch. So, I'm going to be saving more money, than that. That's crazy. But it looks like online dating is a thing to do. It's more cost efficient. And then Business Insider had one too, didn't they? They said that online dating is more cost efficient.
Yeah. Business Insider says that online dating is more cost efficient than traditional dating. They say that online dating industry, even though it brings in revenues of more than $1.2 billion, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
They have the same stats as Freakonomics with, it's the same thing, actually.
Okay. Well, look at that. So get out there and go online dating. I wonder, have any of you guys done, like, online dating? I'm not going to be ashamed to say that I've signed up for Match.com, and I actually went to a couple of their STIR events that they had up here, and they were actually pretty fun. However, it was kind of weird being that you know what everybody is in there for. Everybody is in there to find somebody to date.
Right.
Which is weird. Like, you go to a club and whatever, you're there to have fun. Not to say that the people didn't go to those events, because like the one that I went to, there was a movie showing, I mean a premiere, and then the next one was something at a bar sponsored by Red's Apple Ale. Both fun. However, it's very weird, and I honestly don't think I would ever do those again. Both of those were pretty intimate. As far as like the bars were concerned, I'd probably do like a trivia night or something like that, maybe where there was going to be more people, or maybe bowling. But like, it was like at a very, you know, small club, the Red's Apple Ale one, and everybody was so close, and they like forced you to play these games. It was really weird. yeah, it was really weird. And I had a friend come with me, and I just ended up, you know, chatting with her the whole night because like the guys that were there, I don't know, it was just creepy. So, I've definitely tried it. I have not, but I've never paid for membership for any of them. So I've never gone any further, like as far as like, messaging anyone or anything like that or talking to anybody. So I honestly don't know the full benefits of them. However, I will tell you that I know five couples that have met through both eHarmony and Match.com that have gotten married. And I know all of them are still married today. And I think the most recent marriage was 3 years ago.
Wow.
The other ones were 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Like two of them got married, like they met people and got married around the same time. So they've been pretty, you know, fruitful, I guess, as far as, you know, finding somebody that you like, because they have a formula. Like, I've heard the eHarmony questionnaire is like 300 questions. I would never do that.
That's pretty extensive.
Yeah, pretty extensive.
You're serious about finding a mate.
Yeah.
And you better get going.
Exactly. If that's what you really want to do, and it seems like they, the questionnaire is really, it's extensive. However, they do that so that they can find you a good match, someone who's going to be good for you. So, but me personally, I'm not that invested. I can just even thinking about 300 questions made me tired. Like I want to go take a nap just hearing about it. Sitting there and answering those questions. And then that's another thing. Like with those like online dating things, it's always like, tell me about yourself. What do you like to do? Where do you like to go? I like to do a lot of things. I'm not, you know, some cookie cutter thing. Like, oh, I like to go bungee jumping. Like, no, there's things I like to knit. I like to bake cookies. I like to go out. I like to go to the movies. But just because I knit doesn't mean that I'm boring. It might be one of my most favorite things to do, but I'm not boring. I like to go to movies. I like to go to the bar. I like to go bowling, but I can't put all of that because I'm restricted to only 200 characters. So I can't tell you all the things that I like to do. And I you know, with those online dating things and the surveys, it's just so hard to really tell someone about yourself unless they get to meet you. But with those things, they put this constraint where it's just like, tell us about yourself in 600 characters. Oh, I can't do that. It's not Twitter.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Some people use Twitter as online dating.
Yeah, some people do use Twitter as online dating. Some people do. Yeah, some people do. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, what does that mean?
That means absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I met my ex-boyfriend at Fridays. I didn't meet him at Twitter, so. Or on Twitter. There we go. And that's the end of the story. I have to leave it at that. That was the story that we decided to stick to. So, I've never met anybody off Twitter. That's it.
You got it.
Just friends. I've met Ari off of Twitter. And look at us.
You did.
Yeah. And look. And now we have a podcast. So, there's nothing wrong with meeting people on Twitter. No, not at all. No, no, no. I wasn't saying that you were. I was just, you know, making it, you know, for people. If you do find, like, matter of fact, I remember Big Sean and his girlfriend, they met off Twitter. He DM'd her and was like, hey, what's up? I like you. And now they're engaged.
Check that out.
Look at that. And then I remember, I mean, I saw a tweet of this guy where he did the same thing and he DM'd his girl and then they were married a year later.
And had a baby, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't be shy. Y'all over there talking about some, I don't want to hop in no DMs, or he's thirsty, la, 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 la. And look, if my girl would have did that to me, we probably wouldn't have been where we are today. But I surely did send that DM, and look at us now, married with a baby on the way. Good for them. Good for them. Nobody, my DMs be so dry. Yo, it be tumbleweeds in my DMs. Only DMs I get are like spam. Dang. Yeah, I never get DMs anyway. I guess I'm just not the kind of person who they would think that would respond to a DM. So boom, I just don't get them.
I mean, I don't like DMs in general from any topic.
Me either. Nobody ever DMs me. Like I said, my DMs be just dry. They just be dry. Nothing happens. Nothing. Yeah. Be whack. Whatever. That's fine. I don't need y'all DM me no way. Shoot.
You're killing me.
Oh my gosh, raggedy cells.
You're killing me, Small.
You're killing it. Y'all don't never do nothing. Don't never send me no nothing. Only DMs I get is spam. Shoot. Hate everybody. No, I'm just kidding. But so here you go. Online dating. It's not as bad as you guys think it is. It's really not. I know there's like a negative stigma about online dating, like, oh, I'm a creep, or I'm a dweeb, I can't meet people in real life. But really now, when you think about it, you're on your phone all the time. Like, it's funny now, you walk down the street and you look up and everybody else is looking down at their phone. Barely anybody's making any eye contact with anyone. So why would you be so opposed to meeting someone online when that you're always online anyway? People will be out with their friends and they're on their phones. The whole table will be on their phone.
Hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. Like, I'm gonna make a rule now. Whenever we go out, everybody just needs to keep their phones in their purses or in their pockets. Like, it's so rude that you'll be hanging out with friends and it's just like, damn, is my conversation not fun enough or intriguing or interesting enough that you have to be in your phone? What are you doing?
I've definitely been making it a conscious effort lately.
Yeah, definitely.
To not have my phone out.
Yeah. You know, most of us don't have children, you know, most of us have, you know, healthy parents, where we wouldn't need to be tethered to our phone in case of an emergency. So we can put our phones down. However, we don't put our phones down. So don't be so opposed to going to online dating because you think it's for dweebs when you're always online anyway. So
the church
saying, amen. And it's going to be cheaper. You're going to save money because online dating is more cost efficient. So why not do it? Why not do it? Anyway, I'm parched.
Yes. I'm just making emails. Does that count? How about that? Still online.
So yes. Yes.
I don't want to be like the blame for any solicitation. JK, but yes. It is cocktail time.
Yay! It's cocktail time. What is the cocktail of the week, Ari? Please
listen. The cocktail of the week in honor of Kat Cole from Cinnabon is called I'm Bossy.
Hey!
And we know they're trying to ban Bossy. I personally think it's dumb.
I think it's dumb, too.
Okay, great. So we think it's dumb. I'm Bossy. This is what you'll need. You'll need 5 cups of seltzer, 4 cups of bourbon, 2 cups of fresh lemon juice, 2 cups of sparkling apple juice, 1 cup of simple syrup, 1 cup of amaretto or some other almond-flavored liqueur, ice cubes and lemon slices or maraschino cherries for garnish. And you're just going to combine everything in a punch bowl and fill with ice.
Yeah.
Garnish with the lemon slices and cherries. And that is the I'm Bossy.
I'm Bossy. Yummy, delicious.
Yes.
I want that right now.
Right now.
Right now. And that's what she said? Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh,
oh yeah.
You got it.
I got it. So please enjoy this delicious drink, and you could be a boss while you drink it.
Like a boss, Ricky Ross.
Like the boss. Boss. I love the way Rick Ross says boss. I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, when he first came out, what? Everybody was saying that boss. Everybody was saying it just like that. Like, yes. Oh, my God. Love, love, love it. Anywho, so is that the end of our show?
Ooh, child.
I don't know why she did that neither. But I'm gonna tell you right now, with this laryngitis, I can't get to that. I can't get to that note. So. Anyway, honey. So Ari, where can we find you?
Where can we find you,
Dee? Well, I'm on a hiatus from Twitter. However, you can still follow me. It's Lucky Stars, LuckyStarz. And it's the same name for Instagram. And I did post a picture on Instagram the other day.
I did.
So I don't want to hear any more much and such about it. Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Takes a bow.
Wow. Such proud. Wow.
So amazed. Lovely
picture.
So, you can definitely find me there. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. We're on Podbean, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. And we're also on the Spreaker Network, and that's Spreaker Network. So just go to Spreaker.com, get the app, and then search for our show, Catnaps and Cognac, and you can catch us there. Also, we're on iTunes, so please check us out there. Rate us. Give us 5 stars. Email us, because, again, we're going to start that segment where we want people to air out their grievances. So please hit us up, because we would love for you guys to be on the show with us. catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. Did I get everything?
I think you did.
Yes, I think so too. So I think that's it. That's the end.
That is the end of our show. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, yo. You don't have to love me. You don't even have to like me. But you will respect me. You know why? 'Cause I'm a